So let's start a podcast. Would you like to start us off this week, Jerry?
Oh, what episode are we on?
We are on episode 34.
Ah, hence the subject of the email you sent me. I'm ready when you are.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Welcome to another week of Android Buffet. It is the 7th of March, almost in time for what is that? The Ides of March is almost upon us. It is episode 042. For you developers out there, you know that's octal. And 42 in octal translates to 34 in decimal. So we are on episode 34. I am joined by my, as always, co-host Guru. And Guru, how are you today?
A little stressed, but you know, we deal with our things. It just, as you know, life has this tendency. A bunch of things always seem to collect at around the same time, where you think you have a handle on the situation, but all of a sudden you discover that you have to juggle a few more balls than you thought you needed to. So I have, you know, a change of lifestyle at work, because I've changed positions. I have my situation with my studio slash living room slash whatever else it is this week, where I didn't expect to have to gut the room and, well, at least take everything out of it, rebuild the floor, and then have to slowly put together everything and put all the stuff back, and etc. And, you know, there's all those other things that I do on a weekly basis that make me think that I need a vacation and I'm not due one for a while. So, but I am developing a laissez-faire attitude to this sort of thing, so I'm going to take a deep breath.
Wow, dude, now I'm depressed.
I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to sip my Arizona diet green tea with ginseng, which is my attempt to be healthier because I've been told I should drink less soda.
There's always something you should do. I believe that it is healthy for a person to have a few vices. Not too many, not too few. One or two vices is good to keep us, you know, keep the world in perspective.
Well, I agree. Soda is actually one of my vices, which is why I've already had it twice today.
Jeez, Puritan?
Puritan?
I don't think you could call soda a vice.
Yes, but my goal is to limit drinking soda to one meal per day, and I failed today, so I've already fallen off my wagon.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You need to watch out. The Pope's going to call you.
The Pope would call me? I think he's already pretty disappointed in me. Although he recently said that the Jews weren't responsible for all those things that people have said they were over the years, and since I'm Jewish, I feel much better.
Well, I'm glad you feel good about something.
Yes. I feel much better knowing that I wasn't responsible for all those things that I didn't do.
Well, right?
I think it's an improvement.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay, so do we have any feedback for this week?
We have gotten some feedback from our number one fan on Twitter.
Oh, yes. You know, he is the one person that I can depend on to mention my rarely used Twitter handle, and I really appreciate it.
Well, yes, he's also a fan of many other Android-themed shows, and I'm sure they appreciate it as well. I'm thinking that he must be the number one fan of Android podcasts in general, because he does enjoy listening to us and other Android-themed podcasts. So we do appreciate you. You know who you are. And keep listening, because I know you're out there right now listening to my very words.
Speaking of listeners, how are the numbers? Did that temporary surge go away? Or
unfortunately, yes.
Okay, so we're back down to normal numbers.
Yes, I do have to report earlier this, actually it was last week by now, there was an outage of the Weneca media server for approximately 8 hours.
It's a good thing you're not Google, dude, or you'd be sued into oblivion.
Well, it was sort of an odd coincidence. Obviously, I'm the administrator of the Weneca Media Group server, which runs Android Buffet and a bunch of other sites. And I'm, of course, now working nights. And so I do have somebody who keeps an eye on the server when I'm at work and makes sure that it doesn't crash and fixes it if it does, which it doesn't usually happen. In fact, it's never happened. And the person who usually backs me up was out of town at a conference. So the odd coincidence happened to be that the server goes down when one person is unavailable and the other person's out of town. So I need to find a third person to watch that server to fill in when the first two people aren't available.
Well, don't look at me, dude. I'm a developer. I don't do sysadmin stuff.
Yeah, well, I may... my other solution is to attempt to monitor the server from my cell phone, which, of course, would be possible, except for one minor problem.
What's that?
My place of business has no data reception. It really drives me crazy. I can't sit in our off-duty area, you know, where people, you know, we have a refrigerator and a couple tables where people come when they're not working. I can't sit there and use my phone because I can't get a, I cannot get a single 3G, 1X, what have you.
Do you have like a work email address that you check in, you know, a few times a day?
Well, I do have a work email address. Unfortunately, my place of business very closely monitors my work email address, and they wouldn't appreciate me using it for non-work related things.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Well, some years ago, I made the mistake of doing something on my computer, and I got a screenshot.
Oh, dear Lord.
They don't normally monitor people's computers, but apparently they felt the need to look at mine, and I know that I could look at other people's computers, so at any point, they could come on and watch what I was doing. At anywhere that I am, if I'm logged into the system.
Okay, well, there are places like siteuptime.com, and there are several, but this one offers a single, you can point it at a single place, and they'll ping it, you know, every half hour or hour or so. And if it's down, they'll send you an email.
Well, no, I can set something up like that. As I said, my problem is, what would I do? And I figured this out because I went outside the building and sat in my car and attempted to log into the server via SSH on my Droid and realized that I had forgotten to put the SSH key on the phone, which I'm going to rectify when I get a minute, so that I don't have to sit there trying to fumble with the long password I have because I never use the actual login password. I always use the SSH key. So basically, I just have to do a dry run and pretend as if the server has gone down and make sure I can do everything fluidly in regards to getting it back up.
All right.
But I already took some measures to prevent it from going down. The problem appeared to be that somehow the permissions got reset on something. But that's my problem, and I'll figure it out one of these days. I need that vacation to do that. But the server is secure. It can't be taken down by somebody doing anything to my knowledge. Please don't try. But as far as I know, it's basically secure. It was an update created a permission problem, which overloaded something which we would normally just reset and be done with it, except there was no one to reset it. So that's that. Let's move on to the wonder that is Android. There's some interesting MarketWatch news this week.
We have some interesting markets.
Yes, we do. There's some news from Chomp, which wants to improve the app discovery process with a new searchable app that doesn't actually provide a market, but basically is supposed to help you find things in the existing market.
So basically, this is an application that you run on your phone that is a search engine for the market. Is that about right?
Well, yes. The idea is actually similar to how, let's say, I would approach this or you would approach it. And I have a copy of Chomp here. I've brought my little Nook in here, which is still running CyanogenMod 7 test build. And as you pull it up, what you see is it has, what kind of app are you looking for? So it's not search for an app, it's what kind of app. So they're trying to go by function as opposed to going by name, which is also, I know how I approach it, and I know that's how you approach it. You're not looking for an app by name most of the time. You're looking for a photo editor, or you're looking for a chat app, or what have you. Or in one case, they have a category on sale.
That's always nice.
Yeah, now I looked at it for a few minutes and I can say that, you know, it didn't necessarily, you know, thrill me, but I think the idea has promise and they could certainly work at it. Just to read how they describe it, Chomp is the search engine that finds the apps you want. Chomp's proprietary algorithm learns the functions and topics of apps, so you can search based on what the apps do, not just what they're called. Try searching for puzzle games, kids games, expense trackers, tip calculators, or chat, and start finding great apps. Good idea.
Yep.
We'll see how that works. As I said, I think it needs a little work because I did have a little trouble with discovery, but so far it actually looks very nice. Moving along, malicious applications were identified and remotely removed by Google.
Yes. This is actually a pretty big story, right?
Yes.
There were some apps that were out there. They were doing bad things. They were It was actually, if I understand right, it was a whole, well, anyway, bad apps doing bad things.
And, well, it's brought a lot of issues to the remote application wipe function that Google can exercise.
Well, it's...
But what have they exercised it to do so far? They've exercised it to remove malicious apps. I'd say people really shouldn't be concerned unless you see them doing something they're not supposed to do. They're supposed to remove malicious apps. We want them to remove malicious apps.
We do.
It's called protecting us. Now, if you don't want them to remove malicious apps, all you have to do is not install those apps from the market. There are certainly alternate markets.
Well, that's kind of not really a good answer.
Well, it's not a good answer.
I think there should be a way for you to say, listen, my phone, I don't want you removing anything from it.
Not a bad idea, and certainly I'm sure somebody will come up with that. But again, you know, a power to protect is only becomes an issue if somebody is abusing it. We can't say that we can't give people power because they might abuse it.
Well, yes, we can.
Well, we call that anarchy. Let's not have anyone in charge because somebody in charge might do something bad.
No, but you make sure that the people that are in charge, that their powers are limited.
Well, I'll agree with that.
Prevent abuse.
And I think that if Android is an open platform, which people keep saying it is, then maybe there should be an open decision as to how to enforce the market. Maybe there should be a community involvement there. Maybe there should be a mediation board that isn't involved in Google.
Oh, great. Let's open it up to committee.
Yeah, well, that won't work out practically, but it's certainly something to think about.
It is.
And in other news, Google may be paying attention to what people are saying about the market because people were tweeting that there were malicious apps and pirated books, and very shortly thereafter, those were gone.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's amazing because Google has a reputation for pretty much not responding to customer service queries, which is their biggest problem.
And this wasn't actually even a customer service query. This was just a...
tweet.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted out saying, hey, Google, you need to look at this. This is kind of shady. And like minutes later, the books started disappearing.
Yeah, but I honestly think that Twitter is a means of customer service. A lot of companies provide customer service or some form of support by Twitter, also by Facebook. So it's not unreasonable to say that it's a channel to interface with your customers. But basically, on all fronts, Google is not well known for responding to the people who use it.
This is true.
So I think that's their biggest problem as an organization. As they get bigger, they have somehow ignored this gigantic part of being a large company that every other company has to deal with, which is communicating with your customers. And they've always made it one way.
That is kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was one particularly interesting. A disgruntled Android developer tried to start the Android Developers Union. And I don't know, did you consider joining the Android Developers Union, Jerry?
I looked at it. I saw it when it came out. It came across my book or my radar from Hacker News. And just, geez, really?
Well, you know, it gets better. You know, there's one, Google admittedly did not explain why it removed this individual's app, for which he's apparently making a lot of money. But if you actually look at the app description, you might have a theory on that. But Google still should have explained it.
Yeah, whatever.
Basically, it encourages pornography and piracy download. Yeah, so that's a pretty good reason to get rid of an app from a market, but you know, at least they could have said, your app encourages piracy and pornography. We can't have that sort of thing.
Right.
They said, please review these terms and conditions and assume that you know where your app falls into them. And you know, that's a form letter. It's not customer service. So at least while this guy, we have legitimate reason to distrust him, at least he has a legitimate point that Google is taking a cut off the top of every transaction in the market. And what are they providing for to the developers who are helping them make this money? They're not even providing the courtesy of a response.
No, they're providing a market.
Yes, but
a
if I go...
market would not have existed without them. Yes. So
I still think that they owe... I'm not saying that they owe 24-hour customer service. I'm saying they owe the dignity of an occasional response to a query. If I go to the supermarket and I get to the shelf and I pick up an item and I buy, let's say, an expired can of tuna, and I go back to the market, am I to expect that no one will talk to me about my expired can of tuna and let me get their money back? Hmm. Just because they, you know, I already bought the tuna, they helped me buy the tuna, their responsibility ended at the door? It's a bad example, probably, but I'm just trying to make the general point that a company has some responsibility to the people who use it to not do everything, but at least respond at some point or another when you ask them a question.
Google is notorious for, shall we say, a lack of customer service. Just by their very nature, they're, I mean, huge.
Well,
right?
Well, Google, if you're listening out there, and I doubt anybody from Google is, but I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised, I'm volunteering. Feel free to come recruit me. I will run your customer service division.
Will you now?
Why not? I'll spend my day responding to Android developers. That seems like a good job. Dear Jerry Jones, your My Soundboard application is fine. Please stop writing me. See? Okay. I just did one right there. I could spend my day writing random letters to people complaining about Google. That seems like a decent job. Not necessarily a fun one, but I hear Google has a good overall benefits package, so why not?
That's what I hear.
So there's my open offer to Google. I'll run your customer service division and spend my day writing form letters to people.
Yeah, but
for a good salary.
Think about how many people want customer service from Google. And it's probably on the order of millions a day.
That's the price of doing business. The price of doing business is you occasionally have to communicate with your customers.
I know. Such a pain in the ass, isn't it?
It is. I can tell you stories. Well, we both work for companies, and I assume we both have people we have to talk to who are in business with our companies.
That's one of the things I love about my job. I don't talk to the customers.
Yes, but do you talk? You have clients?
Ultimately,
you know, I once offended a doctor by expressing this. Every job is a service job because at some point you have to deal with somebody and provide for their needs. If you are in a business and let's say you're the guy who orders the toner, your customers are the other people in the office, in this example, who want toner, and you have to make them happy.
Yep.
So no matter what, you are it may not be the only thing you do, but every job has a service component to it where you have to make a certain group of people pleased with the service you're providing.
I know, and it's so annoying.
Yes. And, you know, it changes. I could say that, you know, right now I have to make my boss happy. He's the person I serve. Bad example, too, but
you get
the general point. I think every job is a service job. And I know that one doctor got really offended by that suggestion, that he was not in the service industry.
I would say a doctor's probably in more of a service industry than your average worker.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what I said. I said it's not the only thing you do, but your job is to provide service to people who come to see you. It's not your only job. It's not 100, you're not in the customer service industry, which is a whole different thing. But every job involves a responsibility to provide some level of service to the people who are contracting with you. And I think Google has forgotten that because basically they're in the advertising business. They don't necessarily see the people who use Gmail or the people who use Android as their customers. They see them as eyes, which is probably part of the problem.
They see them as a product.
Well, I was going to go with eyes, essentially people viewing ads. So people, consumers, not in the literal sense, people who are consuming content for which there are advertisements. They don't see them as people who have legitimate needs that Google has to satisfy. But, you know, that's just a theory, and my psychological explanation of it doesn't necessarily fall through. Speaking of markets, we also have the Amazon market. I'm sure you've heard about this.
I have.
Amazon apps that are purchased from Amazon will work on multiple devices and use Amazon DRM. They'll validate periodically with the Amazon DRM server. Not really.
Yes.
Not much to say about that. It's a piece of news. But they say the market from Amazon may launch any day now. We'll wait till then, I guess.
Yep.
And moving along, a little platform news. There was a great graph of U.S. smartphone market share by manufacturer and operating system that I've included in the show notes. It's graphical, and we're an audio podcast, so we invite you to look at it after you've completed your commute, or if you happen to be near a computer right now, why not pull it up?
Oh, okay. This is... Wow, I can't believe I didn't look at this. For those of you who have used a graphical disk space monitor, like Windurstat or something like that, it shows basically a bunch of bars. The width of the bar is the operating system's percentage of the market. And then that bar is broken up vertically according to the manufacturer. And such that you might not be surprised, the Apple iPhone OS It is all one color because it's only made by Apple, as is RIM, BlackBerry. But Android OS, which has 29% of the market, compared to Apple's and BlackBerry's 27% each, looks like HTC has 12% of the Android market, Motorola at 10. Interesting.
I think it is. And I think it's worth looking at. As you know, I put together all these things I see during the course of the week into a list so we can talk about them. And if it isn't interesting, I don't put it on there.
What I find interesting is if you look over at the Palm Web OS, HP has almost all of it, except for HTC's got a little bitty part of Web OS. I didn't know that HTC made a Web OS phone.
I wasn't aware of that either, but you never know what might happen in the future.
Never know.
Moving along, the honeycomb statue has arrived at the Google campus.
Yep. Isn't it a lame-looking statue?
Yes, that bee isn't really helping. I'm not sure if you saw, but Steve Jobs, who made a triumphant reappearance at the iPad 2 event, was using that bee whenever he was poking at Android tablets.
Did he?
Yes, he was fairly critical. I'm waiting for Google's response. They may have to put in some zingers against Apple, because, you know, what's a war if, you know, only one side is attacking?
Huh.
But, you know, there's that legitimate criticism that there aren't that many dedicated apps for Android tablets, to which my response is, of course, there's only one official Android tablet.
Huh.
And,
right.
By a month or two from now, not only will there be a few tablets, but people will be writing all sorts of applications.
Well, we hope.
Well, I'm sure you have a tablet version of my soundboard in the works.
The tablet emulator is quite painful.
Well, you can always buy a Nook Color and turn it into a Cyanogen Mod 7 tablet and eventually a Honeycomb tablet. Speaking of which, there's a public service announcement that was offered by one blog. Please do not pay $80 for an SD card that runs Honeycomb on your Nook Color. You can make one for free.
I don't know about that. It seems like it's $80. I don't know. Seems like you're buying a service.
$80 to download something from the internet and burn it to a card. Oh, and they throw in the card. Okay. Either way, the Honeycomb that they're offering is, of course, a preview version that was made out of the emulator. Personally, while I would like to see Honeycomb on a tablet I can hold in my hands, I think I'll wait until they release the official source code and somebody builds it into it. For now, I'm happy with Gingerbread on my tablet. Anyway, Motorola is aiming to make Android more secure for enterprise users by rolling out an API and certain benefits for their devices that will enhance the enterprise side of things.
I don't have much to say about that.
Well, the only potential problem is you really want an API that only one that will only work on one company's devices. If they really want to encourage people towards Android and encourage people on this, they'll contribute that code over to the Android open source project.
Oh, dude, no, every phone manufacturer has an SDK that only works on their phone. Sprint does, Motorola does. I mean,
I'm saying for enterprise, if they want to encourage the ecosystem and the ecosystem can only make them money, then they want to make sure that people are willing to develop. And people aren't always willing to develop for just one manufacturer. You won't encourage development if you limit it to that much.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It seems like there's a big push on, you got to cater to your developers. You know, you go back a few years and nobody even cared about developers. We had to, make our way as we could.
Yes, hack to pieces. Reverse engineer.
Yep. Well, nobody cared about the developer experience. It was...
Develop
the apps how you can. Well, the only people that really cared were Microsoft.
And look how they're doing nowadays.
Yeah, they pretty much rule the market, don't they?
Well, I'm just saying they're not doing anything particularly exciting.
Except for making money. Maybe not cell phone, they're not exciting, but...
Well, I'm just saying overall, they haven't done anything particularly innovative. They've just essentially maintained a level course, which is impressive by itself, but they aren't leading anything. They're, pretty much just Microsoft.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, the gaming division has had a few things, but nowhere quite as near as one would think. And I think that's the replacement of Gates with Ballmer. You know, Gates was a visionary who gambled on things. Ballmer is not really.
And,
he's a businessman.
Gates was also a very heavy-handed leader. It was what he wanted or nothing.
We have a lot of those.
Well, but, you know, that's how Apple has gotten to the position that they're in.
Yeah, and we aren't seeing Microsoft competing with Apple on that level, whereas a few years ago you would have made it Microsoft versus Apple, as opposed, you know, Windows versus Mac. Now it's, you know, Google thinks its biggest competitor is Microsoft. I still can't figure that one out. Apple, you know, has
Bing?
Yeah.
Probably Bing.
Yeah, well, Apple is not particularly concerned about Microsoft because, you know, their big money is in all this other stuff. So why should they be concerned about Windows? And they're concerned about the tablet space and the phone space and a whole bunch of other spaces.
Oh, well.
I'm disappointed. Mostly in Microsoft, but...
Oh, that's because you're a Linux weenie.
I was at one point a Microsoft user. They had to do something to scare me away. Anyway, Android 2.3.3 will allow screenshots without rooting.
Excuse me. Since I made a comment to a Linux weenie. Yeah. Hi, Pat.
Oh, okay. Yes, that would be... I'll say hi to Pat, too. I'm hoping to see him in June. I missed him last year.
Just had to put that out there.
Do you realize that we were actually in the same room and I saw him and I don't think he caught me and I kept missing him by 5 seconds?
No.
An entire weekend and I never actually got to say hello to him formally.
Wow.
It was just one of those odd coincidences. But there's always next year.
Hmm.
That was at the Southeast Linux Fest.
Ah.
Yeah. This year I'm thinking of attending not only the Southeast Linux Fest but the Northeast Linux Fest, which I better get jumping on. I believe it's in a couple weeks.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, well, I need to go to more conventions, meet more people, talk
yes,
more.
Yes, you should.
Talk more tech.
Talk more tech.
And, and I've set up a new segment for Android Buffet, Provider Press.
Provider Press.
I'm running out of these, you know, cute names for areas. Occasionally, we need to talk about those cell phone providers.
Yes.
As they apply.
Can we talk about Sprint?
I didn't see anything about Sprint this week, but if you heard about something that I didn't hear about, did Sprint do
something?
Excuse
me, let me clear my mouth so that I can, 1 second. So, what's coming up in 2 weeks?
Is it Cydia?
Yep, CTIA is in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Sprint has blocked out 2.5 hours for their keynote announcement, whatever.
Are you stopping by?
Oh, God, I'd love to. So... Here's what the speculation is of why they're taking 2.5 hours. They're going to launch a 4G Nexus S. They're going to launch an HTC tablet. They're going to launch an Evo 3D. Wow!
I'm potentially underwhelmed, but I'll hold off my judgment until I see what they're announcing. An Evo 3D doesn't necessarily wow me.
Okay, no, that's... A 3D Evo does not wow me either, but I'm not big on the whole 3D thing. However, looking at my next, you know, we're coming up on about time. It's been a year, so time to look at the next phone.
And you really think that, well, see, this is the question. You really think that Samsung is going to get the Nexus S over to Sprint? So far, Sprint and Verizon have never gotten a Google Experience phone, unless you count the original Droid.
Exactly.
So that would certainly be interesting news. But, you know, certainly I could see them doing something with near-field communication that had the specs, as well as Gingerbread and others. But I'm, at least now, you heard me say it now, I am skeptical about them announcing a Nexus S, possibly the Galaxy S2, but I'm skeptical about a Nexus S.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That came from an anonymous tipster gave that to Engadget.
Yes, we have to be skeptical about those anonymous tipsters, though.
We do.
And...
But still... It's exciting, and it is, the 2.5 block is not speculation. That's known.
No, that I understand. I'm skeptical about that, and I'm skeptical about the success of 3D. But I'm, you know, overall, I've never quite seen the point of 3D. I really don't want people jabbing things in my eyes. I don't want to flinch every time I'm watching television. And I don't want to feel nauseous. So, moving along, Verizon is moving to tiered data plans this summer. Hopefully not, but... I did go to a store and ask them that question. They said that if I don't change over to LTE, which is their 4G network, then I will be grandfathered in with my unlimited. So all I have to do is accept that I will be 3G for the rest of my life and I can get unlimited data.
That's kind of like not having a cap on DSL.
Well, I just dumped DSL, so. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, you're not limited, but.
Everything's limiting some way or another.
Right.
Except
for Comcast Business Class Internet.
Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Well, I've had issues.
Now, you pay for it. Don't get me wrong. You pay for it. But
well, I could
there's
get,
no limiting. There's no throttling. There's nothing. It's you have raw you, internet.
Have you ever read about Time Warner Cable's signature service?
No.
That's their closest equivalent. Not only is it wideband cable internet, but they give you dedicated service and guaranteed appointment times on your schedule. A lot of money. It's a lot of money, but they, if you're willing to pay it, you'll get all this. You'll get all this service. In fact, when they come to your house to repair your cable, they'll actually send real Time Warner Cable employees.
Yeah, Comcast Business does the same thing.
Yeah,
they have 4 hours from the time you call them to get a tech at your house, regardless of the time you call them, or your account gets credited. And they have never been, for me, they've never taken longer than 4 hours to get to my house.
Well, I don't have signature service or business service, so I'm on my third rescheduled Time Warner appointment to fix a broken television box. The first time, they told me they couldn't do it because they didn't have a tall enough ladder, and that they were going to send a guy the next week to bring the taller ladder. The guy showed up over the weekend on Friday, which is now my day off, and didn't know what I was talking about. Essentially, they didn't tell him anything. He started from scratch. So tomorrow morning, before I go to work, I have to wait, and they've promised me that a foreman will show up at my house, and he'll bring a three-piece ladder. So I'm a little skeptical.
I'm sorry, dude. That's hilarious.
Well, you know, this is... And this is after I just gave Time Warner my internet and phone business, which had been with Verizon. So I had DSL, and I had a traditional plain telephone line. So I let them take over my service, and they're still doing this to me. But I'm getting a better deal. So the question is, should I...
Sure you are.
Essentially, no matter which company I go with, I'm going to be disappointed with the service. So should I pay more money to be equally disappointed with the service? This is what ultimately what the decision-making process was.
Wow.
And Verizon is still my wireless provider, and I have no intention of leaving them. According to a recent survey, they have the best call quality nationwide, and T-Mobile apparently has the worst consistent.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, are we moving on? Yeah, we're moving on.
I thought that was a nice transition until you called attention to it.
Well, sometimes the best segues are the ones that are so good you make note.
Yes, I've always wanted to rent one of those.
What, a Segway?
Yeah, they have the ones at Disney World. You can go on a Segway tour.
Oh.
I actually really wanted to spring for that Behind the Magic tour. I'm not much of a theme park person. I want to see all the stuff no one else sees. Those things are just too expensive, though. A couple $100 to see Behind the Magic, and that's on top of paying for the magic in the first place. Well, anyway, me and my ranting aside, how do you feel Sprint is in terms of its quality, since that's... I know that every time I bring up Verizon, you bring up Sprint, so.
I can only speak for my local area, and I think Sprint is awesome.
I have had experience with Sprint. Unfortunately, they have some major gaps in places I used to go, and I still go. So I will stick with Verizon for now until they piss me off enough to make me. Every company pisses me off at some point or another.
Apparently.
Well, you know, that's customer service. You know, I expect every company to get me annoyed at some point, but it's not the getting me annoyed that gets me upset. It's how they deal with me when I'm annoyed. So if, you know, people make mistakes. You know, Jerry, you make mistakes.
So what?
Yes, but I feel that a measure of a company or any relationship is how people handle it when they make a mistake. If I go, if I go to a restaurant and I order something and they mess up my order and I tell them, you know, this isn't what I ordered, please bring me what I ordered, and I get an attitude, that's a bad way to handle it.
Yes, it is.
But if they say, fine, of course, sir, we'll fix it right now, I'll say fine, and I'll forget it. I won't hold it against them. People make mistakes. So that's essentially how I see things.
To me, it seems reasonable.
Yeah, and I try to be very reasonable because I don't like arguing and fighting with companies, and I do it all the time. I yell at the cable company, and occasionally when I get really upset, I get sarcastic with them, which is not a good way. It is admittedly, and I know from experience, it is not a good way to get people to do what you want, but that's how I feel at the time, so. And moving along, let's get out of some contentious issues into some app stuff.
App stuff.
Yes. Trillion was updated, and it's offering a continuous chat, which is sharing chats between devices in real time, or trying to. And I know you told me that you had been spending a lot of time on Trillion lately.
Okay, I'm a Trillion user on the desktop since way back. And they recently let out version 5. And it doesn't look that different, the desktop version. Except for now you can store your history and all your you could always store your contacts on the cloud. Okay, when you sign up with Trillion, you sign up with a Trillion account, an Astra account, whatever.
Yes, I have one.
And then if you sign on to your Astra account from any other instance of Trillion, then all of your connections and contacts are automatically loaded up. And that's really nice. I like that.
That's the cloud for you.
Yep. I even have it signed up so that I have multiple Gmail accounts and Gmail apps accounts. And in the bar, it shows me how many emails there are in each one of those accounts. And it's really nice for me to, so that I can keep an eye on multiple email addresses all at once. Now, with version 5, they're letting you store the history in the cloud and letting you do kind of a live sync with multiple devices. Now, this was really nice. This new version for Trillion on Android seems to do a much, much better job of keeping me online. And depending on which one of my devices has been most recently active, if you send me an instant message, it will go to either one device or another device or both devices. Depending on if it can tell that I'm on the computer right now, it won't send that IM to my cell phone. But if it's not sure where I'm at, it sends them to both places. And as soon as I respond on my cell phone, the window on my computer closes.
And I think that's very clever. It also has, you know, bandwidth implications, because instead of communicating with the 5 servers necessary for some programs, you're only communicating with the Trillion server.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trillion server is communicating with all the other servers and figuring out when to push or pull.
Yes.
So essentially you're minimizing your bandwidth impact, which can be very useful, especially if you have metered bandwidth or, more importantly, you have limited battery life.
It works really well.
My only problem is that I don't have Trillium on my desktop and couldn't even if I wanted to.
I thought they had a Linux
really?
Client.
Do they? I'll have to look. I didn't think they did.
I'm fairly certain they have got clients for just about everything.
Well, I am a Pigeon user on the desktop, but I will certainly look into it. Because, you know, the ability to sync everything through the cloud is very important to me. Although I have, years and years of chat logs stored in Pigeon that I sync between computers using Dropbox.
Mm.
So I will look into this. Thank you for advising me. I haven't looked at Trillion on the desktop in a while. But since I did use it when I was a Windows user many, many moons ago, long before the whole Astra thing, when dinosaurs
were on the earth. Now, I will warn you that the Android application is not free.
I bought it.
Okay.
Already. I like Trillion. I happen to like its performance, and I did try out the beta before I bought it, as did you.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been on the desktop app in a while, and I'll certainly look into it. Moving along, speaking of apps, Seismic added full Facebook support, TwitLonger, new widgets, and more. So if you use Seismic as your Twitter, Facebook, what-have-you client, try it out.
I'm still a TweetDeck on Android guy.
Well, I have TweetDeck installed and I have Twidroid installed. Now, Twidroid actually looks really nice. Well, now that it's back in the market, it was gone for a few hours last week. But now it looks really good on the Nook because they have a wonderful landscape orientation.
Right.
And that really works nicely, whereas some of the other ones don't really take advantage. You know, with the newfangled interface with the pane on one side and the navigation on the other side, sort of like the Twitter website.
Right.
So a lot of the others aren't taking advantage, but I'm sure eventually they will. Then, and when it first came out, I paid for Twidroid, and I feel guilty not taking advantage of the only one I actually paid for. But when none of the other ones want money, what am I going to do? Anyway, moving
along.
That's
funny.
BlackBerry Messenger is going to launch on not only Android, but iOS.
Isn't that funny?
That's what I thought. I felt I couldn't miss that. I know you hate the product is launching on Android discussion.
And I do, yet. But
I just thought we couldn't miss that one.
I think that's pretty amusing.
But what does that say?
Well, you know, are they charging for it? Is it going to be free?
I bet they're going to charge for it. How could they not?
My family, they love The BlackBerry Messenger app. It works really well for them.
So you might be paying for that, but I think it's to some degree a way of them expanding onto other platforms as they see that people are going to those platforms and they can't necessarily compete indefinitely. So it's a way to make sure that they, you know, hedge their bets and remain relevant no matter what.
Makes sense to me.
I'll agree. Food Spotting Lite was released. We talked about a beta a while back, but this is a light version, but it's a non-beta light version. So if you like to take pictures of food and share them with other people.
Yes, because that makes a whole lot of sense.
This is the internet. Not everything makes sense. But, you know, people like it. You know, the question is, and you know, this is a legitimate question that somebody, when I asked them about food spotting, said, does it make more sense to review a restaurant or to review a dish at the restaurant? Because at one restaurant, you may like the spaghetti. At another restaurant, you may hate it, but you may like a different item there. So if you're thinking it from that perspective of, instead of reviewing a restaurant, going down and drilling and actually just reviewing individual items at a restaurant, it makes sense.
Yes.
But it's the taking pictures of food and sharing them with other people and trying to share more pictures of food that you've eaten with other people seems a bit rough for me. But it may be that I'm not fully understanding the wonder that is food spotting. So if you happen to be a user, feel free to correct me on that. Don't mind me. It's been a hard day. Occasionally, when it's a hard day, I get a little sarcastic. I apologize.
No, dude, it's all right. I'm right there with you. I am.
Yeah, but you can see how perky I am after a hard day. You know, I'm not, you know, when I'm tired, I'm not always this perky, but I'll say I'm a little more perky than normal. Maybe it's all the caffeine. But Google Maps was updated, adds tweeting, latitude pinging, and more.
Yay!
So if you want to find somebody else on latitude, you can ping them and vice versa. So communicate with your friends, find out where they are, and you could even encourage them to check in at your current location. I don't know what to say, Jerry, when I've rendered you speechless with a piece of information.
You know, there's some stuff I just don't have a comment on.
Well, the BBC iPlayer is going to offer a subscription for less than $10 a month. There is an Android app, but it's UK only, so this would solve that problem. Then people could watch Doctor Who.
I am excited about that. I love Doctor Who. Torchwood.
I've heard he's coming to America. Is that true?
What?
I've heard Doctor Who is coming to America. In his next series, they're supposed to be setting some episodes in America instead of in England.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yes, I saw a promo with him in a cowboy hat. Anyway, I tried out an interesting app this week for my little tablet, which is the Thumb Keybird for tablet typing, which is a very nice keyboard which offers, well, as suggested, it offers a keyboard that is more optimized. Now, if you saw those pictures of what SwiftKey is going to look like in its tablet version, This looks very similar to that. You have to configure it for the type of screen you're using. There is a phone version. In their profile, it has a bunch of different ones. But in its landscape orientation on a set for a Galaxy Tab, which is the closest equivalent to a Nook, it offers on the left and right, it offers the letter keys. And then in the middle, it offers the number pad and the directional pad.
Mm.
So essentially, it's the perfect orientation and size for tablet typing. And then if you put it into portrait mode, it has a more conventional look.
Where did we see that? We saw that somewhere else that was...
So I did put a link to it. I had actually gotten it before I found somebody else talking about it, but I figured if somebody else was reviewing it, I might as well add it in. But I think it has a lot of nice features.
I agree.
And, you know, it offers a 7-inch tablet layout, offers several layouts, both for a 7-inch and 10-inch tablet, a compact and a large layout for phones. I did pay for it. I keep paying for things.
Well, good.
It's off, you know, I've been enjoying haptic feedback, which I don't use often enough. It has a honeycomb layout, a honeycomb theme, a gingerbread theme, a Windows Phone 7 theme. I should try that. I want to see what that looks like. It offers the opportunity to set different layouts for both portrait and landscape. So you can essentially play with it and try out all the various settings and customize it the way you want. And it is now my go-to thing, even though I have SwiftKey installed, it is now my go-to keyboard on the Nook.
Really?
Yes, because it's easier to type on it. It doesn't have the predictive stuff, but it is easier to type on it.
Okay.
And that brings us to what you're up to, Jerry.
What are we talking about? Developers Corner.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Android, but if you want to move to Developers Corner.
You know, I was going to get into a long discussion of the intent service and the broadcast receiver and keeping your keeping the phone awake long enough for you to for your application to do its thing, but make sure that you, when you do finish doing what you want to do, that you don't keep the wake lock longer than you have to, blah blah blah. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my co-host a link.
Okay.
I just sent a link over instant message, over Trillion, as a matter of fact. Probably to be received by his pigeon.
Yes, but my pigeon's in the other room. Because of the redesign of my recording studio to fit into a smaller space, I can't squeeze the laptop, which is what I put Pigeon on, onto this particular little rolling desk that I'm now using as a podcasting studio. So I'm using the Nook to keep track of the articles as opposed to the computer, and thus somewhere in the other room there's a computer with Instant Messenger on it.
Ah.
Well, it's probably better that way because then I don't get distracted by instant messages while we're recording, which has happened. I want to devote my full attention to you, Jerry.
Okay. Well, basically what I'm going to do is I'm just going to point you to this link. If you do not know Commonsware, then you need to get familiar with it. This guy has come up with several books on developing. He's come up with several Android books. They're all live books, meaning that they're updated regularly. You pay $40 for, and you get all of his books for a year. And you don't even need to buy his books to get access to all the code. And he comes up with several useful components. The one that I want to point you at today is the wake lock, or the wakeful intent service. And basically it's a way of, it abstracts out that whole, well, when do I need to grab the wake lock? When do I need to let it go? Just write your intent service, but make it inherit from a wakeful intent service instead of an intent service, and you're good to go, and you don't have to worry about Android shutting down on you, because normally, it only stays awake as long as your broadcast receiver is in its on-receive method. So, follow the link. Check this guy's stuff out. He's a heck of a contributor to the community.
And I will make sure that's in the show notes once I return to the show notes.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, there's one more thing that I almost forgot. We did get a comment from our most devoted listener on Twitter, the one we were talking about earlier, asking if we were considering putting in a tip jar. I'm assuming this means that he wants to tip us.
Mm.
So I wanted to put out a call. Do you, as listeners, do you feel that we should put in a tip jar? So I'll crowdsource the idea.
And even better, would you tip the tip jar?
Yes. So if you're interested, you know, we can certainly see about setting it up. You know what I just got, by the way, in the mail?
No.
I got one of those square readers.
Oh.
I always wanted
plugs into the headphone receiver thing.
Yes. Now all I need to do is find somebody who wants to pay me money. Or feels obligated to do so.
See, now there's the hard part.
Yes, that's the problem. But because I have to have a credit card in hand in order to do this, and I'm not going to pay myself. Well, that would make no sense. So maybe if I go somewhere and somebody wants to tip me, I can just swipe their credit card through my phone.
Maybe.
Yeah. But either way, what do you guys think? We can certainly implement any number of systems if you want to contribute. The money, of course, would be used to offset the cost of producing this podcast and hosting equipment, what have you. I'm sure we could think, if we had money, I'm sure we could think of something else to buy to enhance the podcast, more bandwidth, etc. So if you want to discuss the matter, you know, obviously Jerry and I would figure out what to do with the money if you opted to send it in, but you tell us, do you feel that we should start taking tips? Send us in your emails, your voicemails, your fill out the contact form on the website. And we'll turn it over to, unless you want to do it this week again, Jerry, do you want to be the announcer, or do you want me to turn it over to our announcer of the week?
Let's give it to the announcer.
Whoever it might be this week.
Whoever it might be.
I never tell you who it is. And let's say goodbye, and then we'll turn it over to the announcer.
All right. Good night, folks. Good night. See you next week.
We'll see you next week for another exciting episode of Android Buffet. And I'm off to get myself something to eat, even though it's 11 o'clock at night. Bye.
If you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, you can call 201-2-WENICA. That's 201-293-6322. You can send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. You can follow us on Twitter @AndroidBuffet. Guru is the editor of Gadget Wisdom at www.gadgetwisdom.com or on Twitter @GadgetWisdom. Jerry is the creator of Show Analyzer. You can find him at jerry.jones@gmail.com or on Twitter @Jerry_Jones. Android Buffet is a project of the Weneca Media Group at weneca.com, creators of quality online content. Android Buffet is also a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more fine tech-related shows at techpodcast.com.